All of the government programs that we don't like are funded by theft. All of the government programs that we do like... Oh, sorry, there aren't any. Government is the reason that healthcare is expensive. Government is the reason you can't go to college. Taxation is theft.
Welcome back. Taxation is theft. And I have the amazing director of Everything LP, Chrissy. What's going on?
Not too much. Just living that quarantine dream, you know, just hating my life and everyone in it.
Awesome. So which came first, the theme for the show or you just hating everything?
So as people know, Jess Mears is my co-host. Her and I have been pretty good friends for the last few years. And every time we started out a phone conversation, it would go with, you know what I really fucking hate? And I mean, and it would be anywhere from political stuff to pop culture, reality shows, our friends, you know, it didn't really matter. It's just every single conversation, it started out with, you know what I really fucking hate?
You know what really grinds my gears?
Yeah, so basically, yeah, just like, nice. You know, maybe I watched too much Family Guy. So I had been trying to talk Jess into starting a show with me for a year. I always wanted to, like, start a podcast because I'm a libertarian, and that's what we do. We start podcasts. So I wanted to start a podcast, and I was like, I want someone who's motivated, someone who is energetic. Doesn't help that she's a pretty girl. So, you know, we created this little honeypot here. So I asked Jess, finally, after a year, I'm like, can you please start the show? And she's like, you know, yeah, let's do a show. But what are we going to call it? The Chris and Jesse Show with Chrissy and Jess. Duh. Well, you know, because we're girls. That's what we think is funny. So, and then we were talking about, you know, what we wanted to do with our show and how we kind of wanted to market outside of the libertarian echo chamber. And we thought about, well, we hate everything anyway. That's all we ever talk about. Why don't we just basically broadcast our phone calls? So, yeah, that's basically what we've done. We've actually sprinkled in a few guests, so we don't pick them.
This is basically what the NSA listens to on a regular basis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure they listen to Jess and I's phone calls.
Like, oh, just another episode. Now they're broadcasting it for everybody. Yeah, you don't feel you took all the joy out of your personal NSA agent who listens to all of your phone calls.
Yeah, well, you know, that Such really makes kill. Me happy. I love taking the joy away from the feds.
Okay, so we were talking before the show about things like what we should talk about. And you were like, well, I'm going to ask you what made you a libertarian. And I'm like, come on, I get asked that every time I'm on someone else's podcast. So now, since you brought that up, I'm going to ask you that. How did you become a libertarian?
Okay.
Do your parents know you're a libertarian?
Do you say, do my parents know if I'm a libertarian? I actually made my dad a libertarian.
Nice.
It only took me 10 years. 10 years of incessantly bitching. So actually, I'm 30 years old now. When I was 16, I had just got my license, and I was driving all around town because I could, and I saw a homemade sign and it said Google Ron Paul, and I was bored as shit. This is before Facebook, you know, because I'm old. This is back when, you know, it was MySpace barely. So I was bored as shit on the internet, and I Googled Ron Paul because that's what the sign told me to do. And when I Googled him, I saw that this old ass man wanted to legalize marijuana, and I thought, I want to legalize marijuana, like, I am a stoner. And but then I started looking at all of the other stuff he was talking about. And I learned about, like, the Federal Reserve and taxation being theft. Am I, like, the 1,000th person to say that? Do I get a prize?
No, actually, it's very rare. I think everyone assumes that, like, I say it every other sentence, so they like, hold back.
Okay, well, taxation is theft.
You just won a free hat.
Woo! So I read all about all this stuff, and it's stuff that they weren't teaching me in school. So I started looking into it, got a little obsessive like us libertarians do, and just really got into it. Ended up deciding that I wanted to go to school for political science, and ended up working for Ron Paul. And here I am. So like many other people in this party that are around my age, Ron Paul brought me in. So much so, I don't know if you can see it. You can't really see it. I have a Ron Paul tattoo.
Nice.
Yeah. Not many people say nice. Most people say, oh, that's sad. But
well, he brought me in too. And like, it was funny because I was listening to, what was it? Brian Ellison on a podcast yesterday where he was talking about Amash, and the other guy who was pro Amash was like, you know, kept saying Ron Paul, Ron Paul. And it was weird because they got into like kind of a thing about how like, yeah, and then we found out who Ron Paul really was. And I was like, what? Because I know, like, I've heard this crap and I'm like, come on, leave Ron alone.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know he's been going a little nutty lately. But can the guy just go nutty without everyone having to talk shit?
He's a fucking libertarian.
Yeah, and this motherfucker's been around helping us for 40 years, you know, preaching the message, getting yelled at in the 80s on TV.
He was probably holding back all the wild stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, look, yeah, you know what? I want to legalize heroin because I do want to shoot it up.
You know, who knows? But at this point, like, let the man go nutty. He has earned it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like every time I tell people that I came in from Ron Paul, I have to reiterate, like, I don't agree with everything Ron Paul says. I don't agree with everything he believes. However, he was the spark. And I defend him because, again, it's like your great-grandpa. You know, mm-hmm. Sometimes they say wacky shit.
Right? Exactly. You know, this is funny. Well, I guess it's kind of the opposite. But I use the analogy with Bernie Sanders. Because, like, you know, when somebody's like, yeah, but I love Bernie Sanders. So I tell him, like, look. Yeah, Bernie Sanders, he's probably a great guy. He probably has, like, people's best intention. He really cares. Like, he reminds me of my grandfather. He really cares about people. My grandfather was always donating to the WWF, the one with the panda, not the wrestlers.
Nope.
And like, you know, he's, like, always, like, he really cares about, you know, people and animals and things. But he was also kind of senile, and we had to take his driver's license away. So, you know, I wouldn't put him in charge of the country. And that's kind of, you know, Bernie Sanders. Like, I can kind of see, like, oh yeah, like I know my grandpa was kind of like he even said something at you know, at like Passover dinner one night where he's like, yeah, did you know there's over a million millionaires in this country? And which was funny, cause like, I think he was probably in that category, but I mean, he had been working his ass off for like 60 years and just saving and saving his, like, cause you know, they came out of like the World War II era where they would like recycle aluminum foil. So, everything was saved, but like it's just like so funny and ironic. And then Bernie Sanders is kind of the same, right? He owns three houses. And then he's like saying, yeah, it's everybody who, you know, and it's like, everybody should own three houses. Like, don't take a house away from the guy who has two. Just build more houses for the guy who only has one. Yeah. Okay. Totally on a tangent there.
Well, basically what you're saying, what I'm gathering is Ron Paul to us is what Bernie Sanders is to the left.
Yeah.
He's our crazy grandpa who just says wacky shit sometimes.
Yeah. And you know, well, okay, look, this is really interesting too, because I hear a lot of people saying that, you know, oh, that's a mental illness. Especially like I think transgender is like where this really comes out. Like, you know, oh, it's you're not whatever you think you are. You're it's a mental illness. And it's like, okay. And then there's like, okay, socialism, that's a mental illness. Oh, you don't want to obey the lockdown. That's a mental illness. Like, so like everything's a mental illness, but then at the same time they get really angry and combative with these people, and it's like, is that how you treat the mentally ill? Like, if what you're saying is right, is this the correct response? I lost your sound. What happened? I mean, like, it's there, but it sounds like you're underwater.
Oh no.
Did you drop your microphone in the, wait, hold on. Okay, now try.
How's this?
Oh yeah. Holy shit, you just blew my eardrums out.
Oh, sorry. I guess I didn't have to yell. But that's what I do. I'm a yeller. I yell at everyone.
Yeah.
My son's in the background nodding his head.
Hannah said, oh my God, I just spit out my water laughing. That was 1 minute ago. What were you laughing at? The sync and the delay and everything totally makes something like that. Like, can you quote what you're laughing at? Come on. We're just saying
a bunch of funny stuff.
So bureaucratic over here.
So yeah, but basically Ron Paul brought me into the party, and I've actually became a lot more left-leaning since my entrance. So I'm definitely nowhere near like a libertarian socialist because they have a mental illness. Circle back. I've become a lot more left-leaning. So I care less about Austrian economics and property rights. That's really, really boring. I care more about like recreational cocaine and like sex worker rights. So that's the fun part about libertarianism. So I'm just here for the fun. I heard like McAfee brings drugs to stuff, and so I'm just sticking around long enough that I get the invite to McAfee's bath salt party.
Unfortunately, he's not going to be coming to anything anytime soon, which sucks.
That's what you think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because as soon as I get elected, he's on my list of pardons. So.
Oh. Yeah, you're gonna pardon McAfee?
Yeah, he's on the list. So is Tommy Chong, even though he's out of prison now. And like, there's a bunch of other people on there. Wesley Snipes. Yeah, tax charges and weapons charges, which is like bullshit. I think his weapons charges were like possession of like fully automatic bullshit. You know, like he had all the fun stuff in the wrong part of town, basically.
And he's black, right?
Yeah, right. Sorry, Mr. Snipes, we didn't recognize it was you. Do you mind if we search your trunk anyway? It's actually really interesting. I talked to the Freedom Law School is it's this organization that has been it started 10 or 20 years ago. I learned about this stuff right when I was learning about Ron Paul. I think the first time I saw Ron Paul, it was a bumper sticker, right? Like, who is Ron Paul? Or I think was what it was. But then I saw the Freedom to Fascism documentary. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God, you have to. And that was like one of the first times I saw him talk, and he was talking about the IRS. I think I was already fighting with the IRS at that point. And he was speaking out about the IRS with Joe Bannister, who's the ex-IRS agent who quit and started fighting the IRS in all these lawsuits, and he totally kicked their ass. So they're basically saying...
I think you just got a boner when you said that. I could watch it on your face.
Yeah, totally. But like, so these guys basically say that there's no law that says you have to pay income tax, and I was like, really? Teach me everything you know. And so the Freedom Law School right now is giving away $300,000 if you can find the law that says you and I have to pay income tax, because it's not there. And so this guy has been like defending like thousands of people against the IRS to make sure they never have to pay income tax. And it sucks because it's kind of like, this is how the IRS works, right? You're walking down the alley and like a mugger comes out and puts a gun in your face and says, I'm going to rob you. And it's like, your only choice is to A, take out your wallet and give it to him. And okay, I just got robbed. Or recite 5,000 lines out of the tax code. And then he'll say, oh, I guess you know your rights. I'll see you later. It shouldn't have to be that. And it's the same thing with traffic tickets and like all these other things that the government tries to rob us for. So this guy, I was talking to this guy and I was like, dude, can you put me in touch with Wesley Snipes? Cause I totally want to have him on the Taxation Theft Fest.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah. So he gave me a couple leads. I'm going to try to call around and see if we can get him there. But this guy himself is going to be there. So he's going to be talking about, what he does and how he fights the IRS it's going to be fucking awesome.
That's really cool. Speaking of, Taxation Theft Fest, when you asked me about if I wanted to speak in it, the funny thing is you said, do you want to speak at TitFest? And mind you, around that same time, I posted a picture and people were commenting on my boobs. And I thought for a minute, is Dan trying to talk about my boobs? And I was like, that's so weird. And I was like, huh. And then I was like, Brandon. And my husband was like, Taxation is theft, you retard. That's not tit fest. I was like, is he asking me to? Is this like the big titty women of the LP? Like, we're all like invited to come speak. Like, that'd be clever.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of people have been saying we need a calendar. So, you know, just saying, yeah. we have the dad bod calendar, which is, but we need something for the guys too, because I as much as I love that picture of Spike where he's like, that's actually his promo picture for the for Tit Fest. But as much as I love that picture, I wouldn't hang it on my fridge.
Funny, I had it hanging on my fridge for the last month. Definitely weird. Definitely weird. My husband is July. So, oh, yeah. No, September. September. He's September. That's right.
So.
Yeah. He chose the month with 9/11.
I don't want to know how the Twin Towers correlates to that. Okay. So I was like, okay. So Spike actually told me, he's like, dude, you should just totally call it Tit Fest. And I'm like, I wonder if the domain's available. And so I typed it in and it like redirected me to like Boob Roulette. It was. Yeah. Wow. Everything that's on the internet. And then, so I'm talking to my friend, Tom Queeter, who's on my campaign team. And I told him that, and he's like, wow. He's like, I don't know much about porn. I used an acronym and he thought it was a porn. Anyways, so I'm like, yeah, there's like a fetish for everything. I'm like, there's probably even a fetish for bootlicking. And then I had to think about it for a second and I'm like, yeah, that's not even that weird. That's like totally like, that is like a total like fetish outside of like anything libertarian.
There's lots of weird fetishes. So funny, interesting story about me.
I'm like picturing a cop. But like I just said bootlicking and it's like, no, that's just totally normal. But yeah.
No, like licking shoes. So no, it's so weird. So back when I was like 18 to 22, I used to do also about 60 pounds ago, I was a fetish model. And I did a whole bunch of modeling for a bunch of weird ass fetishes. Nothing naked, and nothing like sexual, which is funny because people got off to these, even though it's not sexual nor naked. One of them is called Clothed Female Naked Male, where we just make fun of men that are naked and flaccid and they record it and people pay for it. Tickle fetish, smoking fetish, lots of people are, you know, they got their thing, man.
So literally just sitting there smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I asked if I could smoke joints because it produces more smoke and I'd literally just sit there and smoke and then get paid like $2,000.
Wow.
That's yeah.
And
yeah,
now and now everyone's doing that for free on Instagram. So
what the fuck, bitches?
With like these big vape clouds.
I know. I need to like train these bitches up. This new generation, they don't know how to capitalize on their goodies.
Well, it's supply and demand. You used to need like a professional photographer and everything, and now it's just like everything's got a camera on it. Even your toaster probably. Like, the NSA's like, quick, switch to the toaster cam.
My uncle has a Bluetooth crock pot.
It's so Bluetooth. Like, is that so like you can cook from your couch or something in the other room? It's not ready yet.
Like, he's like, oh, turn it up from, yeah, I don't know. It's, he always shows me all of his like fun, like technological stuff.
It's not a bad idea. I mean, because you could go into the other room, like maybe take a nap because crock pots take forever. Mm-hmm. So like you could set the alarm on it just like when it's ready, like the alarm goes off, but it's like your phone is not all the way in the other room and you can't hear it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, ugh, maybe I haven't, I hate he hasn't technology. Even used that feature yet. He just thought it was cool.
Right. So he paid an extra $100 just to have it and never used it. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a millennial. Damn millennials.
Yeah. Somebody, I'm just reading back through the comments. This is, oh. 5 minutes, was that 5 minutes? I don't know. The only one who could take down Blade was the IRS. Yeah.
The IRS, so,
interestingly, there's this guy, he's got some really awesome videos. He went through and like he went to the Wesley Snipes indictment. I did this too. I have it on one of my websites. But like he went through like even more in depth and started talking about like, yeah, this is what he actually got charged with. He wasn't charged with not filing and not paying. He was charged with filing a fraudulent return.
Okay.
So, and that's like the whole basis of this whole thing is like, as soon as you file a return, you're basically signing a contract that identifies you as a taxpayer. but before that you're not a taxpayer and they can't really do much.
So like, what if I filed 1 year and didn't file the next?
Then
is it like forever you're a taxpayer if you file it?
It's actually really interesting. Well, okay, so there's one guy, he says what you should do is you should you should at least file 1 year as a, instead of a 1040, a 1040 NR, which says you're a non-resident alien, which doesn't mean you're a foreigner to the United States. It means you're a foreigner to the United States, which is the city state of Washington, D.C., which technically all of us are, unless you live in Washington, D.C. Like, we're foreigners to, like, different parts of the law will define the United States as either all of the country or Washington, D.C. and all of the territories like Puerto Rico and Guam and like everywhere else. It's all
That's
fucking
really
crazy. Yeah. But it's like it's all in the definition. And the same thing with driver's licenses. If you start digging through, it says like anybody who drives a car, and it's like, okay, well, that's me. And then you, okay, what's the definition of a car? And then it says motor vehicle. And you're like, okay, well, that's me. And then you look up the definition of vehicle, and then it's like something used for transportation. And you're like, well, my car is my transportation. So yeah. But then you start looking up transportation, and it's like commercial moving of one good from one place to another. And it's like, no, well, I'm definitely not doing that. So if that's the foundation of the other definition, which is the foundation of the other definition, blah, 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 I'm not driving, which means I don't need a license.
That, so has that held up in court?
Yes.
It has?
Yes. Actually, they usually don't let that into court in the first place because they don't want it on record. And I've tried a lot of this stuff myself. And I've seen other people do it on different levels with different cases. But I've threatened to sue cities and courts for trying to collect money from me on tickets that I refuse to pay. And basically under the Fair Debt Collections and Practices Act, which is this federal law, it's fucking hilarious. They like send me things. Yeah, you have to pay. We have a court judgment. But like the court judgment depends on, like in California, in this one place, I had to sign a thing. Like they passed a thing around for everybody to sign, and I just passed it. I didn't sign it. And then I went in front of the judge and told my story, and they're like, you're guilty. And I'm like, big surprise. And then they started sending me letters. You have to pay, you have to pay. And I sent them a letter back and I said, I don't have to pay unless you can prove that you have a signed judgment from an actual elected judge or a contract that I agreed to pay you anything. And if you can't provide that, you have to stop harassing me or I can sue you. And I never heard from him since.
Oh, really? So is this that like sovereign citizen stuff?
No. Well, they're kind of like in here, but they also say like, oh yeah. And also like the Federal Reserve has your birth certificate and all that other nonsense. So it's there. I don't know, like maybe 20 to 50% of their stuff is accurate. That's kind of, I started reading about them and I was like, this is interesting, but it's total bullshit, but I'm going to put some of it to the test. And then I found out that like half of it was real, and I was going to make like a documentary out of this. And then I honestly, at the time, I totally got depressed, and I was like, yeah, I can't make this fucking documentary. This is like, we're all fucking slaves.
So the sovereign citizens are like the Alex Jones of the movement.
Yeah, the Alex Jones is of the libertarians, of the anarchists.
Yeah. Yeah. They only know, they only like 20% of their shit's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like Alex Jones. It's so weird. Did you ever follow Alex Jones? I used to.
Okay, the first time I saw him was actually when I was learning about some of this stuff, and I saw a video of him. I was still living in California. He's always been in Texas, but Texas had just passed a thing saying that you, in order to get your new driver's license, you have to give them a thumbprint or a fingerprint. And so he went in there with like these big ass, like VHS looking cameras. And he's like, give me my driver's license. And they were like, no, yeah, you have to give us your fingerprints. And he's like, I will not. Give me my license. And then like they called the cops and they dragged him out and he got arrested and everything. And that was like the first video I saw of Alex Jones. And I was like, this guy's fucking awesome.
And now he's talking about gay frogs.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, what's interesting, because I do like to... I do like to give like a little bit of attention to conspiracy theories, because like I think they're interesting, they're like interesting hypothetically, but it's like at the same time, like it's like, okay, but do you have any actual evidence to support this? Or like, are you just like, is that your hypothesis? Because like, so, yeah.
Do you believe in COVIDs?
Do I what?
Believe in COVIDs.
What are those?
You haven't seen Joshua Smith talk about how AIDS and HIV is like the same thing as the coronavirus?
Oh, no.
Oh, go peruse his page.
Is he serious?
Yeah, he's serious.
Wow. See, okay, look, but that brings up a good point about the pro-vaxxers, right? Because like they, well, no, not it's not even the pro-anti-vaxxer thing. It's okay. It, like some people are just like, yeah, we have to lock ourselves indoors until there's a vaccine, and it's like, okay, but they don't have a vaccine for AIDS, so like, what makes you think that like just because it's a virus doesn't mean it's possible? And I'm not saying it's not possible for COVID, but like I don't think it's like, oh yeah, we have this program called the vaccine maker, and all you do is you drop a sample virus in there and bloop, you have a vaccine. That's not really how it works. So I don't know. Everyone likes to see things in like black and white, like absolutes. And I'm like, yeah, you can't go through life like that. You're going to have a bad time.
No, I just like to listen to my daddy government and do what they say.
Mm-hmm.
No, just kidding. I broke laws yesterday. I went to go give my friend a haircut. And what's funny is my son came with me, and I told him, I was like, you know that if he paid me, it would have been illegal. And I always like showing my son fun examples of that. And that was one of them. And then right after, I went to a cookout. you know, now, of course, we're coughing and have fevers. But
you're in Ohio, right?
Yes, I am.
All right.
What are you looking at, my governor?
Keep talking. I'll tell you in a second.
Okay. Well, basically, Ohio sucks. If we're going to talk about Ohio...
were saying something about coughing. You guys are all coughing now. Like, really?
No. Oh. No, I was just kidding. I was just saying, since we went and broke the law and broke quarantine yesterday, now today we're coughing. Okay, just it was funny, Dan. I'd appreciate if you laughed. Yeah, there we go. That was the response okay. I was looking for.
Awesome.
I appreciate it.
That totally just reminded me. So Robin Hood and like five of his guys. You have no idea what I'm talking about. Men in tights. He's like, Robin Hood just came in here and killed like all of our guards. And he's like, oh, can you like bring me some good news? And he's like, but it's all bad news. And he's like, well, can you maybe just deliver it in a better way? So he's like, oh, okay. Oh, you haven't seen that movie? Seriously?
No.
Oh my God.
Weirdo. I haven't seen many movies. I haven't seen Pulp Fiction. I just got made fun of for that yesterday. Yeah.
Wow.
I've never seen Pulp Fiction.
So this is like a daily thing for you.
I get made fun of I don't watch anything quality. I watch trashy reality shows, and it helps me feel superior. So that's pretty much all I need in my life is just, you know, feeling superior to trashy people. So I'm from Ohio, we're trashy. So
that's a very common thing, actually. Okay, so I'm looking, here, download full PDF. Okay, I did this in Texas, and I want you to do this in Ohio. And I'm actually trying to get in contact with the woman who was she had a warrant issued for cutting hair in Texas. But I went through and like, it's 100. Okay. You know, the U.S. Constitution is only like 5 pages, right?
Yeah.
The Texas Constitution is like 100 something pages. And I was like, I don't have time for that. Ohio, it looks like, is 130. Have you ever read it?
Fuck no.
What kind of libertarian are you? Haven't read your own state's constitution, the government that sits above you with more power because of the 9th and 10th amendment of the United States government, and you haven't even read it. You're worse. You are worse than Justin Amash coming to the Libertarian Party and not reading the platform?
Listen, I don't care about what laws I'm breaking.
Well, okay, so
it gives me plausible deniability to break them without knowing what they are.
Yeah, but don't you want to know when the government's breaking a law?
Oh, they break a law all the time. We're used to it.
Don't you want the full roadmap of that?
We have lawyers who have dedicated themselves to that boring ass shit. All right. I just break the law.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Get me out of it.
The lawyers don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Because think about it like this. Okay. You have like all these illegal hackers who are breaking into banks and like, you know, doing all kinds of like, you know, they're breaking it. Epstein's black book, like the Xerox copies of his black, they have all the phone numbers and addresses from there, right? They get all the stuff that goes to WikiLeaks. These are hackers who did not go to school to become computer scientists or anything like that. These are hackers who like learned in their basements studying how to break things and what's wrong with things, right? So the same thing is true with lawyers. When they go to law school tells them, oh, this is how you get a job for a big corporation, and this is how you start your own little practice, and this is how you argue in the courtroom and how you deal with juries and that sort of thing. But they don't teach you what the government is doing that's breaking all these laws. In fact, what's really interesting is you will find very, very, very few lawyers who will even challenge any kind of case law. They basically just accept it. Well, the court's already said this, so there's no point in challenging it. Or like, oh yeah, I have a religious right to smoke my weed. No, that's never been tried. That's never gonna fly. Like, they go by what they know, what they were taught in school. And there are very, very few that will actually look into other things. The really good lawyers are the ones who didn't go to law school and took the black hat hacker approach of, I'm gonna see what the law says and how I can tear this apart. And these are the people who aren't paying taxes. These are the people who are driving without licenses. These are the people who are who are basically like, you know, saying, hey, government, you can't touch me. And so this is what's really interesting. In the Texas Constitution, I started looking at business licenses, right? Because if any state agency or city or anything else requires that I have to have a license before I can do something in that state, that has to be in the Constitution. Because if they don't have the power to require me to have that license, they can't require me to have that license, right? Right?
I think so.
The laws have to, all the laws that they write have to fit within the Constitution, right? That's the whole point of the Constitution. So nowhere in the Texas Constitution, when I was looking at it, was there anything having anything to do with business licenses. They could not require business licenses for anything except oil and gas. So that means when they're threatening to arrest people or do all these other things for cutting hair without a license, they're attempting to threaten them into just saying, well, I can't fight this. I'm going to go get my license. And once you get the license, you're signing a contract. And now you can be held to all the terms in the contract of, well, now that you have the license, you have to have, you know, you have to get 100 hours of training more every year. And we can enforce that because you signed the contract.
You would think that there'd be lawyers willing to take these cases.
No, because the lawyers. So here's the thing. Most lawyers, in order to practice, have to be a member of the bar, right? Which is already bullshit. Because the bar is basically a private club. And if you go and you try to argue these things, I mean, it's illegal for a... You know about jury nullification, right? Like, there's no doubt in your mind that that's a real thing, right? Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen a lawyer get up in front of a jury and say, you know, guys, if you don't agree with this, you can just say not guilty, even though he admits to smoking weed or having it in his possession? Have you ever
seen that?
Aren't
there laws, like some laws prohibiting them to talking about that?
Exactly. But if you're not a member of the bar, you can absolutely walk in there and say that.
That's interesting.
Right.
See, like, I'm learning a lot.
So it's all about like control and everything.
Well, I think this is what we should do. I think you should read the Ohio Constitution and send me some cliff notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you ever get bored.
I'm like searching through it right now. But yeah, there's the word license is only mentioned 29 times.
Is that a lot?
I mean,
Okay, so we actually, I think it was Cato that ranked us like 50th in occupational licensing.
Taxes so, mentioned 249 times.
Yeah, we love our taxes here. We got a, we have a Republican governor, Republican legislature, like it's all Republican here. The first thing they did when they took office was institute a gas tax. The first thing. And then right after that was talking about like red flag laws.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the Republicans here in Ohio. And it's funny because a lot of people are saying Ohio is going red. Well, the color is, not the spirit. The spirit is very much blue. At least the Democrats don't lie to us, though. They tell us when they're going to tax us. The Republicans campaign on not taxing and then tax us.
Is there... Yeah, well, here's the thing. This is what I like to say about Republicans, right? Because they say they're for lower taxes, but all they're really doing, because they don't lower the spending, all they're really doing is they're saying, yeah, lower taxes now, we'll let the Democrats rise it. And so the Democrats say, yeah, we've actually paid down the debt because they raise the taxes. Like whenever they like, that's the thing, right? It's a benefit. It's a trade-off, like either way, either under Republicans. Yeah. Look how low the taxes are, or the Democrats. Yeah. Look how low the deficit is. And it's like, all they're doing is they're juggling the taxes. Meanwhile, they have us like watching like a game of ping pong, like, but yeah, I was just thinking like red flag. That would be interesting. An interesting form of activism if like some anonymous people would get like these like actual like big red flags and like on like, you know, like a 6 foot like stake flag post and just like stick it in like all the mayors and governors' front lawns. Like red flag. Go raid that guy. I shouldn't joke about that because I'm gonna get arrested for like attempted swatting.
Well, actually they're being pretty easy on our protesters here. Like, they're actually, our protesters here for the lockdowns are storming the health director's house, probably as we speak, which is a very interesting tactic. Let me know how that works.
Are they gonna cough on his doorknob, you know, or something?
I don't know what they're doing. They're just weird. And that's, see, one thing is, and we've talked about this, you know, my history is in direct action and activism. And a lot of the things I've participated in has worked, and laws have been changed, or maybe for some culture had changed because of it. And I watched some of these other people who used to make fun of protesters, you know, like, oh, go get a job, hippie.
Yeah.
And now they're out there protesting and they don't even know what the fuck they're doing. They're just storming the fucking state house with guns. Our legislators aren't even at the state house, so I don't know what you're doing. And they're going there with their guns, waving Trump flags. And it's like, I thought you were protesting the lockdown. Like, do you guys know what you're doing? And then it takes me back to the Occupy movement when all these like right-wing people were like, Occupy doesn't have a solid message. Well, neither do you. You're bringing guns to the state house. You're going to shoot the virus? Like, pretty sure, like, you can't shoot a virus.
Yeah. I think, well, that's really interesting, but and I think that's a lack of leadership. But it's, you know, when Black Lives Matter was blocking traffic on the highways, I'm like, you guys, like, go block the entrance to the police station.
Yeah.
So they can't get out with their patrol cars, so they can't arrest people and bring them into the, like, go do that. You'd be more strategic with your. But yeah, and it's the same. When I went to the protest in Virginia, it was pretty cool. It was awesome to see all those people out there. But yeah, same thing. A lot of Trumpsters, and they were all there for the Second Amendment. But like they had the gun free zone, and like everyone's like, we will not comply. But then like they complied and they didn't take their guns into the gun free zone. And it's like they should have just stormed that motherfucker and been like, no, fuck you guys. And then the other thing is, like, I was asking around and I didn't have the answer for this either, because like it's and I get it. Like, it's, I don't know if it's if this is new territory. Like, yeah, we have to figure out what the strategy is. But I was like, what is the strategy here? What does everyone hope to achieve? And everyone was like, well, we go there, we protest, and we get home safely. And I'm like, okay, but what do we want from them? What are our do you have any demands?
What do we want? We don't know.
I want 10 pizzas and naked pictures of B. Arthur. You probably don't get that reference either, right?
No, I don't, but I find it interesting that that's where your head went.
Yeah, that's an Adam Sandler movie. Adam Sandler and Brendan Fraser, who people used to confuse me for. Not really, but they say I look kind of like him. Airheads.
You kind of do.
Yeah, see? There you go. And the other guy from 300. But when my beard was bushier. So, so demands, right? We should demand that, okay, change the law or vote against the law and, you know, do whatever else. But it's like, okay, so they went to protest this law from being passed. They didn't even vote on it. So then everybody went home. And then a week later, they voted on it and it passed. And it's like, well, that didn't work. It's like, no, demand that those assholes don't walk out of that building until they vote, until they come out on the lawn and say, okay, we voted. It didn't pass. You can all go home. And I was thinking, like, okay, that's an interesting strategy because, the government should be afraid of us, right? That's the whole point of the Second Amendment. That's the whole point of, you know, they should fear us, not we fear them. So how do you fix that? Because ultimately, like, it's not.